Welcome to Bodcast, the Business of Dentistry podcast, brought to you by Practice Plan. Bodcast delivers the best business advice, real-life stories, and practical hints and tips to make your practice a more profitable and sustainable business. And now, here's your host.
Hi, and welcome to today's episode of Bodcast. I'm Kelly Barnard, Communications Coordinator at Practice Plan, and today I'm joined by Barry Alton, dentist and founder of The Confident Dentist. Hi, Barry.
Hi.
So today we're going to talk about the language of influence and how to use it, which I must admit I'm quite excited about. So could you tell us a little bit about yourself first and, sure. and give a bit of a background for our
So I'm a dentist of 25 years. I've owned my practice for nearly 20 years, and it's in a town called Hazelmere, which is just south of Guildford. And about 10, 12 years ago, I stumbled into and learnt NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, which has enabled me to improve my relationships both in and out of family and business, and enabled me to communicate better and more clearly with patients, which is a win-win situation for them and for me.
So can you explain a little bit more about neuro-linguistic programming, please?
Yes.
The general concept.
Yeah, it's a funny name, isn't it? In fact, one of the co-founders, two guys kind of came up with it, almost by accident. There was a linguist and a mathematician, and they were really studying, initially, it was about modelling excellence. They wanted to know what was it that this particular guy was doing and getting phenomenal results with in a therapy situation, a guy called Milton Erickson, who's a hypnotherapist. Why was it he was getting amazing results in literally one session when other therapists were seeing people once a week for 7 years and getting nowhere? So it kind of came about by accident. But NLP, you know, one of the co-founders said the phrase itself could put people off. But in essence, NLP stands for neuro-linguistic programming. Another definition is that it's the user's manual for the brain. So our brains are probably the most incredible supercomputer on the planet. And if you had a supercomputer and you bought it and you went to the Apple store, you would open the box and in there, or loaded on the computer, would be an instruction manual for how to use things, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just simply get on with something that you'd never used before. You'd probably look at the manual. Yet we came out and we don't have a user's manual. We don't really know how to use our brain. And so these guys developed this whole thing. So neuro is basically our neurology, our senses. We process information through our five senses, which is our sight, our hearing, our feelings, our touch sensation, our taste and our smell. And in NLP speak, we call that visual, auditory, kinesthetic, olfactory, and gustatory, or gustatory, if you're American. And so that's how we sense and process information. The linguistics, the neuro-linguistics of it, is how we change that into language within our heads, not just the language that we use, but the language that we use internally as well. So how we talk to ourselves and the information and how we process that information. And then the programming sounds a bit woo-woo, but programming simply means behaviors. You know, so we gather this information through our senses, we process that and come up in our heads with a picture, a sound, or a movie, which is our internal representation. And then these programs, as they call it, are our behaviors. And behaviors ultimately lead to our results. So NLP is really how we tick, how we process information, how we behave, and how that information is filtered in our own minds and what we make of it. Because we can change information based on all sorts of different filters within our heads. So for example, let me give you an example. So if I was to phone you, the one thing that changes how we process information is something as simple as time and location.
Okay.
So if I phoned you at 3 a.m, you probably wouldn't answer. If I phoned you again, you picked up the phone and I said, "Hey Kelly, it's Barry, can I borrow £10? You'd probably go, "Are you kidding me? It's 3 a.m. You'd probably give me two words.
Mm-hmm.
If I phoned you at 3 p.m. and I went, "Hey Kelly, it's Barry, can I borrow £10? You'd probably say, "Yeah, are you okay?" So I've used the same words, the same tonality, the same delivery. It's the same information. The only thing that's different is the time and the location. And my first request, I'm an absolute pain in the backside because I phoned you at 3 a.m. and woken you up.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second request, which is identical, I'm a friend in need. So time and location changes how we process the information. And there's a whole list of different things that we do in our heads in order for us to come up with an internal representation of the information that's hitting us.
So it's all subconscious?
It's all subconscious. And so you're not necessarily aware of how we filter this information, but you can change the meaning of something based on different things. So neuro-linguistic programming, which is a long phrase, so NLP, is really about understanding how we process information and how we can change that for ourselves, but also help influence somebody else to change it.
Okay. So you want to influence people. So within a dental setting, how would that work, for example, with a patient? Why would you need to use neuro-linguistic programming? You explain to them what's going to happen, they accept the treatment, or they have questions. Okay. Why would you need to use this?
Okay. So I'd kind of like to say that I'm not using it. It's not like a, you know, a particular handpiece or drill. NLP for me is a way of basically how I live.
Okay.
Which is, my job is to influence you to be the best you that you can be, and for us to have the best relationship that we could possibly have. Whether that's me as your dentist or me as your friend, you know, people say, oh, you're influencing people. Well, we're influencing each other all the time, every day. We're influencing people to have a nice time. I want to influence my kids to have boundaries and grow up with respect and be good people. I want my patients, I want to influence my patients to be happy and comfortable and to not have fears and not have worries. I want my patients to come to my practice and go, you know, he's fantastic, he looks after us, he's brilliant, he gives us good advice. I want to influence my patients to make the best choices for them. Now, the best choice for them doesn't necessarily mean that it might be the dental implant. The best choice for them at that moment in time might be the denture. But my job is to make sure that I explain everything in the best way possible for them, in their language, so to speak, so that they can make the best informed choice that they can.
So like you say, we're influencing people all the time without realising it. This is just a more considered approach.
Yeah, this is being aware of how best to serve. So selling, people go, so I'm in the sales industry, right? Mm-hmm. I'm selling myself to you right now. You're selling yourself to me. We're all selling ourselves. You know, when I was brought up, I thought selling was a kind of a dirty word, and I just thought selling was secondhand car salesmen and they were, you know, manipulating.
That stereotype.
And so actually what I know is selling comes from the Norwegian word selje. Selje means to serve. So for me, if I'm selling to you, it's based on me serving you. It's not me manipulating, you know.
Trying to make me buy something I don't need that you just want to sell.
Absolutely. So this is all with integrity. You know, I'm lucky enough, I haven't marketed my practice now for over 10 years. I've been there for 20 years. I'm single-handed. It's a seven-figure turnover. It's an incredibly healthy business. And this is because I've built relationships with my patients. I get recommendations and my patients keep coming back. And that's because I influence them to know that actually they're being looked after and I'll be there for them and I'll make sure that they get to choose what's right for them.
That's really interesting. And it's obviously something you're very comfortable with. How people communicate in different ways, and some people are naturally gifted and have no problem putting people at ease and explaining themselves very clearly, and other people find that quite challenging.
Yeah.
What tips could you give to somebody who perhaps doesn't feel they're a natural communicator to make sure that they are influencing people in the right way and explaining things the best they can? What tips can you give?
Cheekily, the first one is come and train with me.
Well, you've got to kind of get that in here, haven't you?
So this is stuff that we do naturally. And if people find that it doesn't come naturally to them, this is like an exercise. You can practice it and you get better. And this is a set of skills that we can learn and then practice. We do practice on the training course. Mm-hmm. And we practice at work. We practice our language skills. You know, we catch each other out and we're playful with things.
Can you give us some examples? What kind of things are you talking about?
Okay, so one of the first rules of subconscious influence, and that sounds all funky, right? Mm. But actually, we are being influenced subconsciously all the time because our subconscious takes on all of the information that's around us. We're just not consciously aware of it.
Mm.
One of the things about the subconscious mind is it cannot process a negative. So if I said to you, Kelly, don't think of a blue tree.
I'm thinking of a blue tree.
You have to think of a blue tree, even for a nanosecond.
It's like the scene in Ghostbusters where they say, don't think of anything, and one of them thinks of a giant marshmallow monster by accident.
So the subconscious mind can't process a negative. So if I say to you, don't think of a blue tree, you have to think of a blue tree. So when my daughter was, you know, 5 years old, and I said to her, Millie, don't spill the drink, she can't process what don't spilling the drink is. So what she has to do is create a picture, a sound, or a movie of what spilling the drink is in order for her to then think about what not spilling the drink is. If I say to you, don't trip, you have to think about tripping in order to not trip. So in terms of looking after our patients, we've always had a positive intent. I've always wanted to look after my patients in the very best way. And I used to reassure you, Kelly, by saying, it's okay, don't worry. Well, the very fact that you can't process don't worry.
You've used the word worry.
I've used the word worry. Interestingly, before we started the podcast, you said, don't tap on the table.
Sorry.
No.
Are you now desperate to tap on the table?
What you do is I had to think about tapping on the table to not tap the table. So what we do in our practice, and we do at home, is we abolish negatives.
Okay.
We catch each other out and we replace the negative with a positive. So for example, I would say to Millie, sweetheart, hold that cup with two hands. Be really careful. So what I'm doing is creating an internal representation. I had the same positive intent. I don't want the liquid on the carpet.
Yeah.
Right? I want the liquid to stay in the cup. The first statement of don't spill that increases the likelihood of her spilling it, because she forms a picture, sound, a movie of spilling it to then think about not spilling it. The second phrase, be really careful and hold that carefully, is creating a picture, sound, a movie of her holding it very carefully. It increases the likelihood that the liquid doesn't hit the carpet. Don't tap the table. I have to think about tapping the table. If you said to me, okay, so what I need you to do is keep your hands away, then I think about my hands keeping away. So in practice, don't worry. I have a positive intent because I want you to be relaxed. So what we say is, okay, so we're going to look after you today. I'm going to make sure everything we do is completely comfortable. So the same positive intent. And I don't know what your representation of completely comfortable is. It could be a soft, fluffy pillow. Or it could be somebody holding your hand. Or it could be whatever.
But it's far away from worrying.
But it's far away from worrying.
Clever.
It's simple. It's simple.
But clever.
So are you now comfortable that I'm influencing you? Because I want to influence you to have a positive experience. And so influencing you is what we do to everybody all the time. Because you are influencing me because you don't want any banging on the table during the podcast. And I would just say that we're influencing regardless. So why don't we become mindful of how we can positively influence and increase the likelihood of our patients having a better experience, recommending their family and friends, and building our businesses by people going, they're fantastic, they really look after you.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
So influence is good.
Yeah.
When it's delivered with integrity.
That's the key, isn't it?
When it's absolutely the key. It's all got to be with integrity and with a win-win situation. To sell is to serve. If I'm serving, it's a win-win.
So what's the best way to implement this in practice? You were saying that you have fun with it. And how does that work? How do you stop yourself? Because obviously, this is a trained behaviour. You're having to learn to replace a negative.
Absolutely.
How do you go about doing that? If you're a dentist who's been practicing for 10 years, you've been communicating for perhaps 30, how do you stop yourself using the negatives?
Okay. So the first thing is to become aware of what you can do differently. So it's being aware that you want to change your negatives. You know, you don't say to a patient, okay, it's not going to hurt or there won't be any pain. Because now know that that's creating an image for your patient. And the next thing is to be playful, is to have a team meeting. You know, there's loads that you can do in terms of each individual thing. Is just pick one thing and be playful for a month or be playful for a week.
Where you're catching each other making...
Yeah, and just go, ah, you used a negative. So let me give you another, I'll give you another example, right? There's a word that we use all day, every day without thinking about it. And what we don't realise consciously yet, you will in a minute, what we don't realise consciously is that the word that we use all day, every day negates the stuff that came before it. And the word that we use all day, every day and don't realise it is the word but. So if you said to me, okay, this is a really good podcast, but we need to go, my mind, my subconscious doesn't hear the compliment of this has been a really good podcast. It only hears what came after it. So if I said to you, my nurse on a Friday, hey, thanks so much for working really hard, but can you make sure that the surgery's stopped? She used to be a little bit mardy and not very happy, and I kind of didn't understand, because I'd given her the compliment of, you worked really hard for me today. What
She's
I'd done is...
focusing on the, but I haven't stopped the surgery, so I need to go and do that.
Exactly.
That's all he's seen.
Because we negate it. Now, you know, so I'm just making you consciously aware of what you already know, because you've had this where somebody says to you, do you know, that was fantastic, but can you do this? Or I love you, but.
Yeah.
I love you, but can you not do that? Thanks for washing up the cups. I really appreciate it. But what about that last one?
So how do you combat that? What do you do instead? What do you say instead of but?
So the first question earlier on was, how do you do this? How do you implement stuff? My six-year-old became the butt police. So at home, my six-year-old would catch everybody out. You just used the word but, and we'd be like, oh, yeah, you did. Oh, thanks. And that's how we began to become more aware of what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So with the word but, you want to replace it. If you don't want to negate what came before it, you want to replace it with an and.
Okay.
So now on a Friday, when I turn to Annabelle and say, Annabelle, you worked really hard for me today. Thank you so much. And can we make sure that the surgery's stopped? She's off skipping because she's had the compliment. She's heard the compliment and the request that can we make it. The surgery stopped. So replacing the word but with and is just being aware of when to replace it. Because but can also be very powerful in influencing. So we talked about how you might influence, positively influence. If you've broken your lower left six and you come in with a fractured tooth and it's lost more than 40% of the tooth, I know that the best treatment for that tooth is a full coverage, like a crown.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, and I want to make sure that you are having the choice to choose between the two. Historically, I would say, look, Kelly, you've broken that tooth and I could crown it, but a cheaper option is a filling.
So they pick the filling.
So they pick the filling.
Yeah.
So I'm not serving you because I've influenced you without realizing it. I've influenced you to choose the option that is not the best option.
Mm-hmm.
So I can either say, Kelly, you've broken that tooth. An option is to crown it, and an alternative option is to fill it. If I really want to serve you, I would say to you, Kelly, you've broken that tooth, and I could fill that for you, but the best option for longevity is to consider crowning it. Now, this is with integrity. I know it's the best treatment for you. Whether you choose to have it or not is then your choice, because if you've got a concern about cost, I will then deal with that and say, hey, we've got finance plans, we've got ways of making it affordable. I really think this is the best option for you. And I'll help you choose whatever's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to make sure that I'm influencing my patients to not be effectively directed to choose the worst choice. It's still a choice. And I used to influence it in the wrong way. So now it's just more purposeful.
That's really interesting. The fact that if you consider what you say, just a little bit, small changes can make a huge difference to the way everyone around you is reacting to you. Like you said, your dental nurse, she's now happier, and you're saying the same thing.
Massive difference.
Making your patients comfortable. It's really fascinating stuff, and I'm sure we could go on. But thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.